It is a Wednesday, and it's Wednesdays with Walton. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com, and he is with us every Wednesday, off-season, throughout the regular season. He has a fantastic site, especially this time of year if you're interested in the younger players and the minor leaguers, thecardinalnation.com. Brian, as always, nice to visit with you. How are things?
Doing great, Dan.
What are your impressions of this camp so far?
Well, the Cardinals have played a little bit, they've won a few less games than maybe folks would like to see, hanging right around the 500 record. But as a team, you know, they're showing what they really are, and that is a pitching staff that's around the top third in baseball. Their ERA right now is about 4. Pitching's looking pretty good. Offense is more like in the middle of the pack. Team OPS, 15th, I think, in MLB, which is around 769. So, and of course, you know, the great defense is continuing to be there. So the pitching and the defense, again, look to be the things that are leading the way for the Cardinals this spring. And that's whether the regulars are playing or the youngsters.
Is anybody really caught your eye prospect-wise that has been down here and you said, man, that's good stuff. That'll play. Who's caught your eye?
Well, I mean, we've talked about Cody Whitley. I mean, everybody's talking about Dylan Carlson. So we don't, I don't want to take it for granted, but we really don't need to spend much time about him. I think Junior Fernandez is a guy that folks have kind of, I don't say forgotten about, but kind of figured, well, he's not really going to be in the midst of the bullpen picture. And I think he's pitched pretty darn well. And you know, you see Alex Reyes, you know, one pitch, he throws a curveball that just makes a hitter look silly. And then the next pitch, you know, he grooves one and he gives up a double. So, you know, Reyes could be a guy that goes down to Memphis and maybe pitches more regularly and gets a more regular workload. And a guy like Junior Fernandez might slip his way onto the roster.
How beneficial do you think it would be for the Cardinals to have Carlson start at AAA as opposed to coming north with the club in Cincinnati here in over 3 weeks, a day and 3 weeks and one day?
Well, I think there's kind of two aspects to it. One is what's best for Carlson's development, and, of course, the other is what's best for the St. Louis Cardinals. And there's no doubt that the outfield candidates as a whole have not yet distinguished themselves, but we're still, you know, barely halfway through, not even quite, I guess, halfway through camp, so in terms of games. So, you know, there's still time for, you know, Tyler O'Neill to start hitting more home runs, Lane Thomas to be more consistent, and, you know, Dexter Fowler to get off of Schneid. But ultimately, you know, Carlson's development might take a back seat, even though I still think it's better, would be better for him to start to Memphis, start the year there. You know, if it looks like he's one of the best outfielders, you know, they've never ruled out the fact that he could start the season with the team. I just, you know, fan expectations are so high and, you know, and to Carlson's benefit, you know, he's stood up to it and handled it, but you know, I still can't help but wonder if the best thing for Carlson in the long haul would be if he went down to the minor leagues for a while. But, you know, again, I think the results the rest of the way of camp will help make that clear for us.
Yep, time will tell. We've had some national rankings coming out looking at the Cardinals farm system. Keith Law put them in the top 10, first time they've been on his top 10 list in quite some time. But what was your takeaway from some of those national rankings and compiling those?
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that because, you know, Keith Law, when he was with ESPN, he's now with The Athletic, of course, but Keith Law always had the reputation as being a Cardinals basher, but I actually track, I have all the rankings from Baseball America and BP and John Sickles and others, you know, back at least 10 years, and Law has not ranked the Cardinals as good as number 9 since 2013. And then, you know, back then we're talking about Kobe Rasmus days almost. So, you know, that was Alex Reyes days in the beginning. So that was a long time ago. But over the last prior 6 years, Keith Law has always ranked the Cardinals between the number 12 and number 19 farm system in MLB, which really hasn't been that far off the norm. But it is nice to see, you know, a national rater put the Cardinals in the top 10. Baseball America earlier came out and put the Cardinals number 13. MILB.com, minorleaguebaseball.com, this week also ranked the Cardinals system 12. So it looks like the consensus is going to have the Cardinals, you know, in the top half of the farm systems in baseball right now.
Where do you think their strength lies? As these folks look at the Cardinals and their system, what's the strength of the farm system?
Well, the strength of the Cardinals farm system traditionally has been more in volume. You know, unheralded guys who step up and become significant major league contributors. I mean, you go back to Albert Pujols or more recently Trevor Rosenthal or Tommy Edman, guys who were never on national top 100 lists. So the Cardinals tend to have the more, you know, even a Matt Carpenter, guys who, you know, aren't necessarily in that top tier of national prospects, but who become productive, long-standing major leaguers. Now, it is interesting when you look at the Cardinals system now, the three guys that are on everybody's top 100, national top 100 list are the guys you'd think. So Nolan Gorman, Dylan Carlson, and Matthew Liberatore. But the interesting thing is that the Raiders don't agree on which one of those is the top in the system. Most of them say Dylan Carlson, but interestingly enough, Fangraphs likes Nolan Gorman better than Dylan Carlson as the top prospect in the Cardinals system this year.
What do you think?
I think it's Carlson, Gorman, Liberatore. And that's the way that most of them have them. And Carlson's best ranking is number 10 nationally by Baseball America. So, you know, the Cardinals have a prospect, you know, in the national top 10, which is something that hadn't occurred since the heyday of Alex Reyes when he was a top 10 guy three different years in a row. And then before that, Oscar Tavares was a number two ranked prospect in MLB on a couple lists back in the earlier part of this decade.
Tampa Bay has a loaded farm system. They needed to make a trade for the big league club, and that's why Liberatore is now in St. Louis. I'll tell you what, Brian, from what I've seen down here, I am awfully impressed with that young man. He's going to be something.
Yeah, you know, it was good because his first time out, he got knocked around a little bit. And, you know, I was not trying to make apologies, but my comment on Twitter was, well, remember the last guy time this guy took a mound, it was in the Midwest League for Bowling Green, low class A last September. So, you know, facing major league hitters in a 1 o'clock spring training game on television was quite a step up for the young man. But since then, he's showed us the kind of talent he has. And Matthew Liberatore is ranked between number 40 and number 60 on almost every national top 100 list. But at the same time, I don't think we got to lose sight of Zach Thompson, the Cardinals first rounder last year, also a left-hander. He's pitched a level higher in the system than Liberatore. And while Thompson isn't on any national 100 lists, you know, he's at least ahead, I think, in terms of where he'll pitch this season and could be the guy to reach the majors and contribute even more quickly than Matthew Liberatore.
Hair Saloon for Men. You'll receive the perfect haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for just $22. Hair Saloon for Men. Hey, Blues fans, join the party all season long at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill and one of their 11 area locations. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game. It is your home for Blues hockey. Remember, if the Blues score five any game this season, you get Hot Shots legendary tacos for $1 each the next day. Find a Hot Shots near you at hotshotsnet.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Blues.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Lou Hughes Automotive Network, and you know they are St. Louis. Lou Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over seven decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Lou Hughes, we are St. Louis.
As it pertains to Nolan Gorman, you've got Montero, you've got Mendoza, also highly thought of kids. How do you think that plays out, that trio at third base?
Well, you know, the one thing we've seen, of course, from Montero so far, he made a couple errors on Tuesday, but, you know, maybe there's just errors of youth and overzealousness in big league camp. The question really is, with Montero's bad year offensively, primarily due to injury at Springfield, is he ready for Memphis? You know, could you put Montero as a third baseman in Memphis and then, you know, create the everyday opportunity for Carlson at Double A? Gorman at Double A. Because I think, you know, Gorman's ready for the Texas League, and there's no reason why he, Nolan Gorman, couldn't have the kind of year in Double A that Dylan Carlson had last year. So, you know, I think they'll find a way to get at bats. I think Evan Mendoza, they're definitely positioning more as a utility guy now. We saw him play third base, his normal position, but he played first base last year. Down in instructional camp, he was playing shortstop. So, you know, it could be that, you know, that Mendoza's, and I think that's reasonable, that Mendoza's future is likely more as a utility guy, while they still want to, I think, continue to keep Montero and Gorman both at third base.
We are edging closer to minor league camp, aren't we?
That's right. Pitchers and catchers report on the 9th, position players on the 11th, first workout on the 13th, and then by the 18th, they'll be having camp games down in Jupiter, and there's, I guess, about 16 days of games in minor league spring training camp. And so they'll actually be playing minor league spring training camps in Jupiter while the major league schedule has been going for at least a week. They don't actually break camp until Friday, April 3rd. And then the minor league opening day this year is on the second Thursday of April, which is Thursday, April 9th. So that's when, minor league opening day will be. By that point in time, the Cardinals will be, well into their season.
We'll wrap it up with this. What are you working on thecardinalnation.com?
Well, a lot of things we just talked about. In fact, Dan, I do this every year to track how the National Raiders look at the Cardinals system. And so I've done analysis of that, and I, show a history back over the recent years of sort of three views. One is, what are the Cardinals' top 10? Who are the guys that that some Raiders might put in the top 10, others leave out? Then we look at where the Cardinals stack up in the rankings of the 30 organizations. And then, of course, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, which prospects are on the national top 100 list. And the one point I'd make there that I just forgot to mention before is that Ivan Herrera has made his first appearance on a national prospect list. He's number 97 on Keith Law's list at the Athletic. So, that young catcher is going to be another one who I think we're going to see is going to rise in the national prospect list ranks in 2020.
Always great stuff. Great info. Find out more at thecardinalnation.com. Thank you so much, Brian.
Talk to you next week, Dan.